Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
Good morning, my apologies. It's much easier to put these things on if you don't have hair. So I do. It's not that easy. Good morning, everyone. How are we? For those of you guys who don't know me, I'm Rachel. And I just want to start by, let's just open in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, just as we sit and come before your word this morning, I just pray that our hearts would be open to hear what you have to say, Lord, and that you would begin to whisper to us in the quiet places of our spirit, Lord, and just minister to us in this. Amen. Okie dokie. Who here likes receiving gifts? Okay, there's a lot of kids' hands going up. There's a lot of adult hands not going up. That's awesome. That's perfect. It illustrates my point. When I was a kid, I loved receiving gifts. It was really simple, right? People gave me stuff. It was awesome. As a grown-up, I found that whole process is a little bit more complicated. There's kind of layers to it. You know, like, birthdays are fine. If a good friend comes up to me and gives me a gift for my birthday, it's like, oh, thanks. You know, when you open the present, oh, isn't that lovely? And, you know, like, it's okay because it's my birthday. I deserve it. And when it's their birthday, I get to, you know, pay them back, reciprocate with a gift for them. It's fine. We're even, right? Or if my husband, Josh, comes home from work with a bunch of flowers and he's like, babe, thanks, you're an awesome wife. You know, I'm like, yeah, that's okay. Because I'm an awesome wife. That's all right. But there are some times when we're given gifts and there's no reason for the gift and it feels a little bit awkward. I've been given money or gifts just randomly over the years by people who just wanted to bless me, and that's a little bit more complicated, and there's this element where I'm not comfortable accepting that gift. Can anyone relate to that? Yeah. And I think it's very much echoed in our culture where we hear these lines like, oh, no, you shouldn't have. I can't accept that. Right? I was visiting my brother a couple of years back. He was pastoring in Melbourne at the time, and so we went down there for the weekend, and we went to hang out with him at his church. Now, my brother was at a Zimbabwean church at the time, so we rock up, and we are literally the only white people in the room. Okay? We stand out like a couple of sore thumbs, glow-in-the-dark sore thumbs, okay? In case anyone has not noticed, we are pasty white. And it shows. The culture is different. It's different to what I'm used to. Everyone looked magnificent. All the men are wearing suits. All the ladies are wearing dresses. It sounds different. This choir of African women that are just belting out these beautiful tunes. My brother up the front, like, dancing, which I'd never seen before. That was kind of cool. And they were really warm and welcoming. And one of the time, this time we, as we are there, they announce, you know, Matthew's family has come to visit. Let's welcome them. And I think Mum would remember this. The entire church stands up and files past us one by one, shaking our hand and hugging us, like every single person in the room. Like, if you had social anxiety, that would not be a fun situation. But we felt so loved and so welcomed. And then after the service, we were invited back to the elders' house for lunch. Now, I know how to do lunch after church in a white English Aussie setting. Okay, I take something along and then I stand in the kitchen and either help prepare the lunch or I talk to the woman of the household while she prepares the lunch. Okay, this was not the case. We were ushered into the lounge room, we were sat down, someone got us a drink, I was not allowed to help. I felt super awkward with that. And then after the meal, which was beautiful, we were walked out to the car by the elder and his wife and a few other people from the church. And the elder's wife approached me and handed me a grocery bag, like a supermarket bag, full of grocery and pantry items, like tinned fruit and stuff like that. And my automatic, you know, white English response, I don't know, is this a cultural thing? No, you shouldn't have. No, I don't need that, it's fine. No, it's good, really, really. And I remember the elder's wife stopping me and saying, by refusing my gift, you are refusing to allow God to bless me by blessing you. And it caught me off guard. I'd never thought of it like that before. And so gratefully, somewhat awkwardly, I accepted her gift of groceries and I thanked her. But that experience has stuck with me for years. Like, we're going back easily 10 years. And it made me aware we do not accept gifts well. We're not comfortable with it. So that's point number one. There we go. Isn't that nifty? It just appears up there. So there are times that we have deemed appropriate, like birthdays. Christmas can be an awkward one. Christmas is fine so long as you both have a gift of approximate equal value. Otherwise it gets awkward because we feel like we have to earn it. And unfortunately, the unfortunate thing about this is when we then translate this into the gifts that God has given us. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. Up there, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. I think sometimes we really struggle to accept that God has given us his salvation, his favor, his grace, blessings and forgiveness freely. We have not earned them. In my life, I can think of times when I have messed up and I have sinned and I have let both God and people down. Some of them have been little and some of them have been big. And I remember in the midst of one of these bigger ones being convicted that I was wrong. I was absolutely 100% out of line. I'd sinned and it had hurt both God and people that I cared about. And so I went to God and I repented and I apologized, and then I still felt like I had this need, as many of us do, to feel bad about it for an extended period of time, like that was somehow gonna make up for it. God, I'm sorry, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of your blessings. I'm not worthy of the ministry that I'm in. I'm not worthy. I mean, it kind of sounds a bit like the prodigal son, you know, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm not worthy of your favor. And I revisited that time and time and time again. We can be inclined to beat ourselves up for the shortfallings of our lives and our sin and our mess ups repeatedly over and over again. And I say that this is a shared experience, a commonly shared experience, because in order to deal with that discomfort of accepting God's grace, forgiveness and freedom when we feel like we don't deserve it, different religions, many different religions, and even expressions of Christianity have put procedures and rituals in place to make up for our sin and in a small way earn our forgiveness. Even in some Christian traditions, we call it penance. And there's a quote here that I actually got from a Catholic webpage about penance, and it says that there is no doubt that penance in general must be practiced by all Catholics as much as possible if we are to make up for our earthly offences and attain heaven. For those that sin after baptism, it is our lifeline to heaven. Now, I actually don't believe that the practice of penance in this sense is biblical. Isaiah 64:6 says, all of our righteous acts are as filthy rags. Oh, that's not it. We are all infected with... Yeah, same thing. Just I'm reading it off a different translation. Sorry, I just wrote it down as I remembered it. I must have memorized it from a different translation. We can't make up for our earthly offenses. Okay, it is by grace. Okay, Ephesians 2:8-9, like we read, it is by grace, not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that none of us can boast. We don't earn our forgiveness or our right standing with God, and we don't attain heaven with our own effort. And I think this can be really hard for us to accept. Just like receiving a gift when we don't feel like we deserve it. But I think it's a thing worth struggling with because it's that faith that God did the work and I can't that saves us. In a lot of ways, I think it would actually be easier for us if God did give us something that we had to do to earn it. I feel like that would sit better with us. Accepting God's grace by faith alone and not by anything that I can do it's kind of hard. Now, there is a place for godly sorrow. Don't get me wrong on that one. There is absolutely a place for godly sorrow. When we are convicted that we've done something wrong or that something isn't right in our life, we should absolutely have godly sorrow. But there is a danger when we set up camp and we stay there and we beat ourselves up over and over and over again and we practice penance after penance after penance after penance after penance after penance after penance. I like to call it repentance. I know, right? This is the corny bit of the message. We are not called to repentance. Okay, we're not. And what's the difference between repentance and repentance? Well, repentance has got a great big cross in the middle of it. Repentance. Okay? Something for you to remember. It is repentance and not repentance because it has been paid. Point number two. We are to take our sins and our godly sorrow to the cross and leave them there. With faith that God 100% deals with them and there is nothing left for us to carry. I was talking to Viola during the week. It's always good to chat to Viola during the week before you preach. And she gave me this wonderful example. She said, it's like going into the bank to pay off your loan and the teller looks up your file and says, I'm sorry, ma'am, but your loan has already been paid. And yet when we practice repentance, we continue to go into that bank every day trying to pay $10 off our loan, knowing that those $10 will never add up to even close to what we owe. We need to acknowledge our sin. Sin is wrong. It causes brokenness between us and God, causes brokenness between us and people. We don't excuse it. We don't minimize it. It is destructive stuff and it is dangerous. But once we've acknowledged it, we repent and we walk away from it. And for those of you guys who were here last week for Easter, I can't remember if it was Friday or Sunday, but it's a passage you guys would all be familiar with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prays, not my will, but yours be done. And I love that illustration in the video where that summary of sin, not your will, but mine. And repentance, no, not my will, yours. And it can take some time, and we can stumble, but we had to get up again and pray, not my will, but yours. And I've had to pray, God, guard my heart in this situation, and don't let me sin by my words, my thoughts, or my actions. Turn my heart to you, God. Thank you for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, that it is new every morning. Help me to do a better job tomorrow. That's an honest prayer. We have to be honest with God. We can admit when we're struggling. But when we stay in that place where we're so focused on our sin and how sorry we are, we can get so caught up in our brokenness that it becomes almost like a form of spiritual self-centeredness. And it makes us ineffective for the kingdom of God. And the devil loves it. He wants us rocking up at that bank every day trying to pay our $10 off. But the debt's been paid, and we're called to walk in the freedom of that. The next verse, Ephesians 2, verse 10. Most of you guys would probably know this one. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. I want to introduce this idea. You're not only saved for your own blessing. You're saved not by good works. You're saved in order to do the good works. Salvation is God's free gift, and it is one of the hardest things for us to accept, that free gift. But after you've acknowledged and your sin and you've repented, that you're called to walk in freedom as though you never did it in the first place, so that you're free to do the good works that you've been called to do. A lot of you would be familiar with the book of Job and that opening scene in the book of Job where God is in his throne room and Satan comes before God and he requests, God's kind of showing off about, you know, like, check out my servant Job, he's kind of awesome. And the devil's like, yeah, that's because, you know, you bless him, let me test him. And so God approves that, and, you know, we kind of know how that goes. If you don't know the book of Job, go read it. But we get this idea that Satan is a name. Satan is not his name, it's his title. It means the adversary or the accuser. And his job doesn't really change that much over the years. He comes in against us and accuses us and reminds us before we're saved and then even after we are saved of all of the reasons why we are not good enough and we don't deserve and we don't need God. And so with the voice of Satan in our heads, the accuser in our heads, of all of the ways that we've messed up and all of the ways that we're never going to be good enough, we hide away in our sin and our shame and we become basically useless in ministry. Because this bag I'm carrying is heavy. It's Michaela's school bag, it's got all the school books in it. And it's hard to stand here and preach with this on my back. And it is even harder to run. And yet Hebrews 12:1 says, you got that there? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. How can I run effectively? How can I be useful in ministry if I am so weighed down by the sin and the shame of that sin that I've already been forgiven for, that I can't even move? We need to believe that we've been given this gift, forgiveness, salvation, and freedom. And it isn't just about our comfort and our right standing with God. We are Christ's masterpieces created anew to do the good works that he prepared for us. He is still risen. We're called to participate in that. It's not just a nice story. He's risen so that we can have freedom because there is work to be done. I was talking to a friend of mine the other week, and this friend does not go to this church. They don't even live in this country. But they were telling me through various circumstances, they'd ended up in a situation where there wasn't a whole lot of food in the house and there wasn't any money in the bank to make any changes to that anytime soon. They were down to kind of like, you know, eating toast. And they had been for a few days. And it had started to take a toll on how they felt. They were low on energy. They felt pretty flat. Josh, can I grab that water, please? And me being the highly annoying friend that I am, I got on Amazon. Did you know that you can have groceries delivered to an address in another country? You can. And so I put together just a small pack. It wasn't a lot, just enough for a couple of days of decent meals. And I got a call the next morning after the groceries, because it's, you know, it's nighttime over there. Got a call about that the next day, and after they'd eaten. And they said, you should not have done that. But I am so grateful that you did. I didn't realise how much I needed it. I have energy. And they proceeded to tell me all the things that they'd done with their energy. All the things that had sort of been falling by the wayside because they were feeling so lousy. I was so thrilled. Like, I was absolutely tickled pink. And they said, oh, you know, but I'll pay you back. And I'm like, no, that was a gift. You will not pay me back. I wanted to bless you. And it got me thinking about how we interact with those gifts, those free gifts from God. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 7 says, but God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can always point to us in future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united in Christ Jesus. When we were dead... Oh, yeah, no, that's okay. That was that bit there, yeah. When we're God, yeah. That's what God does for those who are his. Now, how bad would it have been if because my friend didn't feel like they deserved those groceries... They took the food, but never used it. They put it in the fridge, and they let it rot instead of eating it. And they continued to be weak and hungry and to feel unwell and to be unable to function and to do the things that they needed to do, the work around the house and the good work of their life that they used that energy for. And how would I feel as the giver? Point number four, don't let his gifts rot. Because how often do we do that with God? We're given these things from God, but because we feel like we don't deserve it, because we feel like we've somehow got to earn it, we let those gifts go to waste. We let them rot, and we don't gain the energy and the momentum that we need to do the work that we've been called to do. Remember, Ephesians 2:10, you were created anew in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he prepared for you a long time ago. You have been set free for ministry. Point number five. Every single one of you. Ministry isn't just for the person that stands at the front. Every single Christian, every person that knows the saving grace of Christ, every person that's signing up for this, you are called to ministry. Trying to do the work while you're still hungry and weak and still carrying around this weight is hard. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus said to me, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Sometimes I think we as Christians are still trying to walk with the old yoke. We're still trying to earn our salvation. We're trying to make up for the bad things that we've done. We're trying to be good enough. We're trying to do something meaningful with our lives by our own judgment to impress those around us. That's a danger even in ministry, can I say? To sound impressive, even in that. But God says he wants us to take off that yoke. The work that is not ours to do. And he wants us to do the work that he has prepared for us. God calls us, he frees us, he gives us the gift of salvation, of freedom, forgiveness, and blessing, and he calls us to walk in it without the heavy burden of our past, our weaknesses, our struggles, our mistakes, our guilt, our shame, expectations of others, expectations we place on ourselves, areas where we feel like we fall short, the things that we're not good at. There's plenty of those that I'm not good at. That's okay. And the things that we feel we should have done better, the things that people have said to us, all of that weight. Jesus calls us to come to him and to stop long enough for him to remove that heavy yoke and to put on his yoke. It fits. It's beautiful. It fits. It's what we're called to. It's what we were created for. Now, there's still work involved. There will still be strengthening and growth required. You will have to grow, but it will grow with you. There's still effort, but it fits. And the work is easy and rewarding, and the burden is light. Because when we come to him in that freedom and accept that we are free, and we've put it at all of our junk at the foot of the cross, and we really grasp that, then we can run. We can take up the work that he's given us, and we can run with perseverance and endurance the race that he has marked out for us to do the works that he prepared for us long ago. And this theme is repeated through the Bible, but especially in the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to skip really quickly over Ephesians. You're going to have to go and read it for yourselves. I recommend it. It's one of my most favourite books. It actually falls out of my Bible. I can take it with me as like a little carry-along tract. So after Ephesians 2:10, when we're told about the work that we need to do, Paul goes on to talk about unity in the body of Christ and working together, because when we come together as God's family, his house, his temple, the church, and we do that work together, it is so much more effective. Chapter 3 talks about being empowered with new strength through the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it on our own. As we grow, we'll become strong and have power, the power that comes from God to accomplish the things that we've been called to do. Chapter 4 calls on us to lead a life worthy of our calling, because we have been called by God. You have been called by God. It talks about the different ways that we're called and the different giftings to equip God's people to do his work and to build the church, the body of Christ, so that it becomes strong and is able to stand against the works of the devil. Paul encourages them not to live their old lives with minds full of darkness and hearts that are hardened to God. Instead, he says in Ephesians 4, 21 to 24, "Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Chapter 5 calls on us to imitate God, to throw off our sin and our old nature, to put it down, to live by the Spirit's power, and to use every opportunity to do that work, right? We're repeating ourselves. God's very good. It's a bit like a mum who nags their kids because we know that we need to hear it more than once. Yeah? Chapter 6, we have that famous passage about the armour of God. I'm going to read the beginning of it there from Ephesians 6:10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armour so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Next one. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armour so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Now, I'm not going to go through all of the different parts of the armour. That would be a whole other sermon. But I am going to talk really briefly about one. And that is, put your shoes on. That's point number 6. You can put it up there. There you go. Put your shoes on. The shoes of peace. Now, it took me a long time to get my head around this one. I've been studying the armour of God for a really long time. I think God started speaking to me about it probably 15 years ago. And this one always kind of was like, oh yeah, and there's that one. What does that mean? The peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Okay, what is the peace that comes from the good news? Can we put that Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 back up? Okay, all right. Yep, so okay. So you've been saved by his grace when you believed. You can't take any credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done, so you cannot boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. We've been saved by grace. It's a free gift. It's not earned. We have freedom. Peace. Why? So that we can be fully prepared. Right? So we can put down all of this stuff. That's the good news. I don't have to carry that. I don't have to do anything to earn it. I can't do anything to earn it. It is a free gift from God. I'll struggle to accept it, but God will keep nagging me so that I can run unhindered. Sometimes accepting gifts can be really hard. Yeah. We can feel like we don't deserve it. We feel like we have to earn it. Sometimes to try to earn it, we try to earn it through making sure that we feel really crappy to make up for the sins that we did that required that gift in the first place. And we can be afraid to use the gift because we either feel like we don't deserve it or we're not up to it. But the truth is, we have been given this gift not just so that we can feel good, but because we are called to ministry. We are called to do the good things. We are called to participate in the kingdom of God and in the advancement of the kingdom of God. And that is, don't rely on someone else to do that. That's our job. And we can't do it without God's gifts and without his empowering. We can't do it while we're still carrying heavy burdens. We need to put on the shoes of peace that comes from the good news that we are free, so that we are prepared and ready to step out free and unhindered and to run with perseverance the race that's marked out before us. Okay? I'm going to invite the band up to share one last song. And I want to encourage you, if anyone would like prayer on this, or anything else, to come down the front and we'll pray with you. Because I want you guys... Oh, someone nicked my bag. No, that's fine. Whoever nicked it, I was worried someone was going to trip over it. It's good, the weights are gone, I'm free. Because I want you guys to be able to walk in this. This is important stuff. The kingdom can't grow unless we get into ministry, and we can't get into ministry until we understand our freedom. Okay. Thanks guys.